Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our program Let Us Reflect. Today the topic is forgiveness for 70,000. Which 70,000 people will be forgiven and what kind of forgiveness will they attain? Does it have anything to do with accountability? What did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam reveal about these 70,000 people? We will cover this inshallah. This will be the main theme of our program today and the main hadith narration which I will share with you today. But before I go into that, and before I mention the focal point of today's discussion, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the importance and excellence of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet, the final Prophet, the leader of Prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We know from hadith tradition, the one who sends one prayer of blessing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who expressed his salat ala nabi once, he receives 10 mercies from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, 10 mercies descend upon him. And the one who does this deed 10 times, he receives 100 mercies from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is fortunate enough to express his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by expressing salat ala nabi, a prayer of blessings for him, 100 times it is mentioned about him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes between his eyes, meaning on his forehead, that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell, and on the day of judgment such an individual will be among the martyrs. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Our topic, as I mentioned earlier, was forgiveness for 70,000, and those 70,000 are mentioned in this famous hadith. It's quite a long hadith, so I will go through it and reveal what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said about those 70,000 people and what was the background of this narration, what was actually happening. It's very interesting and inspiring. Please remain focused and follow the tradition as I go through it. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qala, it is reported by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, uridat alayhi al-umam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the umam, the nations were presented to me. Fara'aytu an-nabiyya wa ma'ahu ruhayt. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a prophet and with him was a small group, just a small group of people. وَالنَّبِيَّ وَمَعَهُ الرَّجُلُ وَالرَّجُلَانِ. I saw a prophet and with him there was one man or two men only. وَالنَّبِيَّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ. I saw a prophet and there was no one with him. إِذْ رُفِعَ لِي سَوَادٌ عَظِيمٌ فَذَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُمْ أُمَّتِي. He said, then it was revealed to me, then a large group, a large congregation was revealed to me and I thought this was my nation. فَقِيلَ لِي هَذَا مُوسَى وَقَوْمُهُ. But it was said to me, and this is Musa, the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and his nation. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, وَلَكِنْ انْظُرْ إِلَى الْأُفُقِ. However, look towards the horizon. فَنَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا سَوَادٌ عَظِيمٌ. I looked and I saw a large group. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقِيلَ لِي. It was said to me, انْظُرْ إِلَى الْأُفُقِ الْآخَرِ. Look towards the other part of the horizon. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was another large group which he witnessed. فَقِيلَ لِي هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكَ. Then it was said to me that this is your nation. So this large group that he now saw, This was his nation. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described them saying, وَمَعَهُمْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا. And there were 70,000 with them. يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. They will enter paradise without accountability and without punishment. ثُمَّ نَهَدَ فَدَخَلَ مَنْزِلَهُ. The narrator is saying, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he went towards his residence. فَخَادَ النَّاسُ فِي أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. The people, the Sahaba who were present, they began to argue about who these people were, the people who would enter paradise without accountability and without punishment. Then, فَقَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ فَلَعَلَّهُمُ الَّذِينَ صَحِبُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Some of them said that perhaps it was those people who were in the company of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. وَقَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ فَلَعَلَّهُمُ الَّذِينَ وُلِدُوا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَمْ يُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ وَذَكَرُوا أَشْيَاءً. Some of them said that perhaps it is those who were born as Muslims. They were born into Islam and they did not associate anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning did not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people, they said different things. So this discussion was going on. فَخَرَجَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ. Then the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ came out and he addressed them. He said, مَا الَّذِي تَخُوضُونَ فِيهِ. What are you arguing about? فَأَخْبَرُوهُ فَقَالَ. They informed him, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, meaning they told him that they were discussing among themselves who are the people who will enter paradise without accountability and punishment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam then said, فَقَالَ. هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. He said, those who do not perform ruqya and those who do not seek ruqya and those who do not take an evil omen and those who place their trust in their Lord, meaning they trust their Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَامَ عُكَاشَةُ بْنُ مِحْسَنْ فَقَالْ. Sayyidina Ukasha ibn Mihsan, he stood up and he said, أُدْعُ اللَّهَ أَن يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ. He was addressing the Prophet ﷺ saying, pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me among them, meaning those people who will attain forgiveness, entry into paradise rather, without accountability and punishment. Sayyidina Ukasha, he stood up and he said, pray to Allah that I am one of them, or he makes me one of them. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَقَالَ أَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ. You are among them. ثُمَّ قَامَ رَجُلٌ آخَ فَقَالَ أُدْعُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ فَقَالَ سَبَقَكَ بِهَا عُكَاشَ. Another man then got up and he said the same thing, that pray to Allah that I am also included among them. And this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, عُكَاشَ surpassed you in this matter. Meaning what Sayyidina عُكَاشَ did, his action was accepted and he attained what he desired, but this is not the same for you, meaning you are not given this excellence that he was given. Three main points that we can take from this famous hadith mentioned in Muslim. One being that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessed all the nations in the history of mankind were presented to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second point being the main, or the topic of our episode today, that 70,000 people will enter paradise without accountability, without punishment. And the third thing being that there will be some people who will neither face accountability of any kind, nor will they face any kind of punishment. And this was something specific for that group of people. Just explaining these points, I quote Mufti Ahmad Yarqa Naimi alayhi rahma, who says that all the nations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed how all nations were presented to him. Now this could have been during the time of Mithaq, he says. It could be during a Mi'raj that he experienced when he was dreaming, or it could be the physical night journey which he experienced, which is one of the great miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned that third opinion, meaning the opinion that he was shown the different nations during the physical night journey, which was a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, is the dominant opinion. In terms of the 70,000 people who will enter paradise without accountability and without punishment, he mentions that it either means among the group, the large congregation that he saw, that the 70,000 are from within them, or it could mean that in addition to the large group or in his nation, meaning the large group of his nation, there are in addition to them 70,000 people who will be given this excellence in the hereafter. And again, he reiterates the point that this is a confirmation that there will be some people who will not face any kind of accountability through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So among the three main elements taken from the hadith, the first element being that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessed all those different nations, the second element being specifically mention of the 70,000 who will be granted entry into paradise without accountability, without punishment. Then the third element that we can look at, are the qualities of those people, those 70,000 that will enter paradise without accountability and punishment. And in towards the end of the hadith, while the people were arguing about who those people were, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that they would be people who have certain characteristics, and among those characteristics, they will be people who will not perform ruqya nor seek ruqya. There is a clarification which is needed here, because ruqya, as we understand it, is when something is recited to create a certain effect or for a desired outcome, usually for healing purposes. And in our Sharia, we know that the mention of ruqya is there. In fact, I would like to quote Sayyidina Abu al-Hasan Qabisi, who says that the ruqya that is mentioned here refers to those reciting such words that were considered to be words from the time of ignorance, meaning they were not religiously justified. They were not permissible to recite. They were pagan kind of practices. But as far as ruqya is concerned, the Shaykh says that ruqya was something that not only did our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform it himself, he instructed it, and he encouraged the people, the members of his nation, he encouraged the Muslims to also perform ruqya in certain situations. And there are different hadith traditions which justify this. So as far as ruqya is concerned, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning the practice from the time of ignorance in terms of the prohibition here, that these people who will be among the 70,000 to attain entry into paradise, they will not fall into pagan practices and repeat the words that they used to repeat as a ruqya for themselves. And the second element that was mentioned was they will not be people who will take an evil omen. They will not fall into superstition. We have superstitions which is still prevalent in this day and age, in this so-called modern day and age. Even in the West, there is so much superstition. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned another quality of these people, these 70,000, they won't fall into superstition. They won't take evil omens from objects, from situations. They won't think that something will give them bad luck, or because something happened or something crossed them or something broke, they will have something bad will happen to them because of that object or because of that person or because they saw someone. All of this has no reality, as explained by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third quality of the people, the 70,000 who will enter paradise without accountability and punishment, will be that they trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whosoever places his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will suffice. He is sufficient for that individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you turn to him and you place your trust in him, you will attain ease in your matters. When you adopt the right level of righteousness, of piety, don't just think about these words, do something about it. You're facing problems in life, you think that your issues are endless and you're not attaining any kind of ease in your life, increase your level of adherence, increase your level of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see He will create a way out for you. In the hadith, it was mentioned how the second person who got up after Sayyidina Ukasha, he was told that Ukasha radiallahu ta'ala anhu had surpassed him. Now, different scholars of hadith have given explanations about who the second person was. And one opinion is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that because it was a moment of acceptance which Sayyidina Ukasha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was blessed with. And the fact, and another opinion being, so he was given that moment of acceptance, so he expressed his request and it was accepted. And then the person who expressed the same thing thereafter, he did not attain that moment of acceptance. And also, an opinion that is mentioned is that the Prophet ﷺ, he closed that door of request. Otherwise, the other companions, one after another in turn, they would have asked for the same thing. And Sayyidina Ukasha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given these glad tidings as a point of excellence for him particularly. Some of them say he had certain characteristics which the second person didn't have, and this is why his request was accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ukasha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, very famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was known for his bravery and his valor. Once his in battle, his sword broke and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was during the Battle of Badr. His sword broke, so he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a branch from a date palm, and when he held it, it became a sword. So this was a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He died at the age of 45 in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah elevate the ranks, further elevate the ranks of Sayyidina Ukasha radiallahu ta'ala an. As far as Ruqayya is concerned, we have different examples from the prophetic traditions, examples of how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam approved of Ruqayya, confirmed the action, and gave permission for this action. There is mention of the family of Amr ibn Hazm. They would perform a Ruqayya for a scorpion bite. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam expressing concern that you've forbidden ruqya, but we perform ruqya for a scorpion bite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to reveal what they recite, and when they did, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of it and confirmed it, meaning granted them permission for it. The famous hadith mentioned in Bukhari about the companions who went to a tribe, but they weren't given any hospitality, and then the leader of that tribe was bitten by a scorpion. They requested the Sahaba. They said, do you have a ruqya? Can anyone heal him? And the companion said, we'll do it in exchange of she-goats. And that was agreed. So an agreement was made that they would perform the ruqya and heal that leader of theirs for in exchange of she-goats. And Surah Fatiha was recited. The ruqya was done in this way. That man was healed. They brought these she-goats back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The companions were apprehensive about whether they should have taken that wealth or not, about what they did. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam approved of their action and even said that you make a share or have my share included among those she-goats. That was a confirmation of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of their action of performing ruqya with the reciting of Surah Fatiha. So whether it's some surahs of the Quran, whether it is any dua, invocation, or words from the Quran and Sunnah, or any permissible expression mentioned in the books by the ulama, a ruqya or dam, as we say, performing it is part of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the prohibitions that are mentioned of ruqya in some hadith traditions are about those in which there are statements that are blasphemous or statements from the pagans or the age of ignorance which are not permissible in our Sharia. So this is how we harmonize narrations in which apparently there is a prohibition in one narration and there is permission in another. So it's very clear and easy to understand that we can attain shifa and healing through reciting certain words from the Quran and Sunnah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we adopt the characteristics mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, attributed to the 70,000 people who will enter paradise without accountability or punishment. May Allah accept our sincere intentions. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.